So, right, by the time I finish teaching, I'm sure you rejoice like this. I'm sure I will ask you, rejoice like this. You have a job. Do you know what that means? You have a job. You know, Pastor said in Kaduna, he said, why would you be preaching to God? The people that he always wants, almost wants to swear for, he said, God will punish you. And persons that you see a believer always preaching. You see a believer always trying to disciple people. You see a believer just trying to learn, listening to sermons, praying. And you're telling the person that, don't you have a life? You not get work. See, when he hears such things, he always wants to say that God will really punish you. You know, not the one that you just say, waka, like, God will really punish you. Like, God will punish you. Why? Because the person that says that thinks that this is not a job. This is a job, oh. There is a God job and a man's job. God gave you a job. Man also gives jobs. Before man's jobs came, which one came first? Should you understand why we can say boldly that a believer cannot have two priorities? Because one came first. One was there even before you were born. Is why Jeremiah can say, when you hear Jeremiah say, before you were born, your mother's womb, I knew you. Hope you got, during, is it our trans gift? No, God's gift or something. The pastor clarified that. He said, when we say that, it means you can, but even you can say, God called me from my mother's womb. Because you are called to walk in another's path. What you are called to walk in existed before you were born. So the job existed when? Before you were born. So you have been called, and that job of a preacher existed before you were born. So your job, you have been called from before you were born. So when you hear, well, like I said, we are going to teach. I'm sure you rejoice after this, okay? Glory to God. Redemption gave me a new life. It also gave me a new work. Also. Problem is, men pick the life and try to leave the work. Yeah. This is my call. It's not just something I'm seeing other people do. My call. Because I have heard the Father's call. It's my fight. Not what they are fighting. It's not their thing. It's my fight. This is my race. That means the course has already been set before me. You are there already. It's like at salvation, God carried you like this and dropped you on the track. Do you understand? When you believe the gospel, God pulled you, dropped you on the track. If you like, don't run. If you like, sit down there. But where are you? On the track. The course has already been set before you. Run. Don't run. Your choice. You will give account. You have a master to give account to. That's what happens in redemption. Oh, glory to God. Father. Father, our eyes are open to see this clearly again. Oh, we see what you have done for us in salvation. We see everything. Not just that we have eternal life. Hey, there is excellency in excellency. There is eternal life in eternal life. Yeah. We see everything. We see all the ramifications. We see all the aspects. We see our role clearly. We see what we are about to do. We see what we are called to do. We see where we have been given to do. And we are bolded and strengthened again on this path. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right, have a seat, everyone. Have a seat, everyone. Amen. All right, this part is shorter. It's very short. Just open a lot of scriptures. Going to show you by scriptures your responsibility. And then we'll close. And then the good people having exams can go ahead and focus on that. But for now, you are not permitted to think about your exams. Amen? Amen. Amen. You are not permitted. Emphasis on not. Your mind must be fully here. So lead your mind here. Hallelujah. So we are still on the path of glory. The path of glory. P-A-T-H. The road. The path of glory. And in bracket, my part. That's P-A-R-T. My part. This is part 4. As I've told you, this is a sermon taught by Pastor in Kaduna during the minister's conference. So we are just amplifying it and teaching it. But is what has already been taught by Pastor. Of course, That is what we do here. We have a source and we amplify what has been said to us. Are we ready again? All right, if you cooperate with me, we'll be done in 1 hour. 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy 3:15. Oh, I like to read from verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and has been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. In this verse, what is the emphasis there? What's the emphasis? Okay, so what is the major job that what is emphasized there twice? Learned. So you cannot continue what you have not learned. There's always something first. You have learned. The learning gave you assurance. That learning gave you assurance. Then verse 15 now says, from a child that was known the Holy Scripture. So known here can also be what? Learned. What he has been learning. Which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scriptures given by inspiration of God is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So here we see learning, showing us clearly that God has an education for every man. God has an education for every man. God has a learning for every man. Same way, a proof of a responsible parent, as you give birth to a child, you're already planning an education package for them, right? No, I'm not saying you have saved heaven and earth on top, but you know that giving birth to this child entails a learning, that you are responsible for teaching. So also, in salvation, there is a learning that God has for man. Both before and in salvation. Because the man out there, the learning is to bring him to salvation. Even in salvation, there is learning we continue in. God has an education for every believer. We see Timothy was schooled from a child to be a believer. From a child, Timothy was schooled to be a believer. I ask you, what were you schooled in as a child? What did you grow up learning? Cartoon Network, like some adults I know, even till now, they know themselves. You know all the shows. But all you knew in the Bible was what? John 3:16. Well done. You had a good childhood. 15, no. 17, no. Just 16. That's all you know. That's why Pastor will tell you that what we are doing now is not is hard like this because there's a lot of things to catch up on. If you have been learning from, let me say, age 7 like this till now, you are what, 40 according to Pastor. You're now 40 years old. How would your life have been like? So the reason why it looks like you are learning too much now is because for the first 25 years of your life, you were playing Kalu Kalu. Is now you are not trying to learn Bible. So you have 25 years to catch up on. You must see the urgency in the catch up. Do you understand? When you are not trying to catch up, there must be urgency. The pastor says, sorry, it's not that he wants to punish you, but you have used your youthful years. The time, Peter said, the time of our life suffices. I mean, when we walked according to the manner of the Gentile, the one you have done is enough. All the African magic you have watched before is enough. The telemundo you have watched before is what? Is enough. All the big brother you have watched before is what? Is enough. You have tried now. You have tried. You know all those things. You have tried. Like some people here, they are the reservoir of knowledge. Anything, every artist they know is enough. Okay? So tell your neighbor what you have done before is enough. And so you are telling them, say it's enough. Don't add to it. That one rich. Don't add. You see my passes on your case. Don't be always on. If you want to know the trendy, everything. What you have known, be don't reach. Calm down. Let us now. See, the scale is like this. Do you understand? the one you have known outside the Bible is here. Let us at least try and bring up this one. Do you understand? So that's what we are doing. God has an education for man. And we have already lost time in it. So we'll catch up definitely and we'll continue. So in verse 17, we see that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work, unto all good works. So there is a good work that is based on instructions received. Okay, let me take it slowly. Because he started explaining from salvation, that the scripture is able to make you wise unto salvation. Then it now tells you what the scripture is used for: doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness. Then it tells you the work. So there is a good work that is based on the right interpretation of the scriptures in the light of Christ. This morning we have seen how to interpret the scripture correctly. If you do that, you will realize that there is a work in it. The reason why many persons don't understand that there is a work in the scriptures is because of the wrong interpretation. Because you have used the Bible for every other thing apart from what it's used for. So you discover this work in the study. It is in the study of the scriptures you will discover this work. That's when you will find it. That's when you will know that there is a work. If you have not seen the work, it means you have not studied well. You have not seen it. It means you have not studied well. Because if you studied well, you will see the work. It's why 2 Timothy 2:15 we say, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. When a man rightly divides the word of truth, what he will arrive at, his destination will be salvation through faith in Christ. So, rightly dividing means as you navigate the scriptures, you will arrive, if you do it correctly and you don't get lost, your destination, you will hear, you have arrived at your destination. And that destination will be salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Pastor said there that it's so sad that many Christians today have not been given this education. We've been educated in almost everything. You've been educated that praises move the hand of God. You've been educated that to sow up or to go up, you must sow down or something like that. You've been educated if you don't tithe, your life will be tight. There are many things believers have been educated on and they know very well. But they don't understand that they have a work in salvation. It's just sad. That is not the education God wants to give man. If you understand salvation, we say this exactly as Paul said. If you understand salvation, you cannot say whether in your dream or in your bathroom that you have not been called. You can't say it. Anywhere you are, you cannot say it. Pastor said the bathroom is where people say things they don't mean. You see, there's an anointing that comes upon people once they are there. Even people that cannot sing think they are Marikari. They just go, they're just there. You have gone. And dream also is the time where you can be anything, right? Anything in your dream. You can be, you can fly, you can be anything you ever, you can, just dream it. You can. That's why they say chase your dreams. Oh, imagine people chasing the kind of dreams that they have. Please, oh, just stay on your lane. But dream and the bathroom is where you can say, okay, you can just, anything goes. But if you understand salvation correctly, even in that dream, you cannot say that you have not been called. If you see yourself dreaming today and you see yourself sitting down, ah, God call me, God call me. When we call me, God call me. You have not understood salvation. That's just it. There's no two way about it. So why people think they are not called into ministry is because they lack the understanding of salvation or the understanding of the scriptures. It's why they think so. Ephesians 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Like I said, cooperate with me. We'll close before you know it. Ephesians 2, verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, had quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. So he's telling you your reality. And had raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Jesus Christ. All these things that we have been reading, who did it? Who did it? God in Christ. Okay, verse 8. That, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. So the same way your predestination was planned, or your predestination in salvation was planned in Christ, same way the work you had to do was also there, predestined to walk in Christ. The job description, predestined there in Christ. But these good works, as we have seen, is in salvation. You cannot accept the salvation and reject the work. That's what many persons think. It is not like going to Mama Put or a restaurant where you get, where you are given a menu and they say, okay, choose what you want. You are now picking. Okay. I want this one. I don't want this one. Okay, no, I don't like this one. How did you prepare this one? This is not Mama Puto. You can't choose. Once you have accepted salvation, you cannot reject the work. But I said some time ago that at salvation, you lost the right not to be a pastor. You lost it. You have that right of, I don't want to, okay. If don't call it pastor, like pastor said, don't call it pastor. Don't worry, we'll call you Alhaji. Anything you want. Just gather people, teach them, learn very well. Teach people, keep learning, keep teaching, keep ensuring you are growing up people. Any name you want to call yourself, do it. People don't like that word pastor. You must see that. You don't have an option. Please write this clearly. This good work is in salvation and is based on salvation. The two goes together. This good work is in salvation, is based on salvation. No more, no less. No more, no less. So if you understand salvation well, you will understand the work. You will know that it is a big deal. When people are saying, ah, is ministry such a big deal? Why people are like, yeah, ministry. Let me ask you this question. Is salvation a big deal? Is salvation a big deal? Are you sure? So, is ministry a big deal? Because when you think ministry is lesser, is if you have in your mind put a demarcation. Salvation is here. God has saved you. Then he now brought another option for you. Say, okay, oh, I've tried for you. You know, God telling you, say, I've tried for you. Yeah, I don't try now. See how I save you. Plenty. Oh, yeah, see this thing where I want me to do. Just think them. Consider them. You feed one. I beg now. Try. Just try. I beg. That's how people think it is. It is not. It is not. Inside this salvation is the work. So if salvation is a big deal, then the work is a big deal. It is a big deal. It is big. So how much of a big deal is salvation? It is what the scriptures are about. Now, we want to start a work here that I'm going to give you, as Pastor gave me. We are going to open scriptures. Are you ready? Are you ready? Yeah, indeed, born ready. Okay, let's start. We are going to examine salvation in the scriptures. You know, we've looked at Genesis to Deuteronomy earlier. So let us see now. First Samuel. You're just going to be reading. So just be prepared to open your Bible. You are a believer. This is what made you you are. 1 Samuel 2. You must open every scripture. It's the work I have for you. 1 Samuel 2:1. I'm still hearing Bible opening. It's only Old Testament you are going to be reading today. Be familiar with it. 1 Samuel 2:1. And Anna prayed and said, "My heart rejoiceth in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over my enemies because I rejoice in thy salvation." Very good. So we see salvation there accredited to God. 1 Samuel 22. Sorry, 2 Samuel. Are we there? Verse 3. The God of my rock, 2 Samuel 22, verse 3. The God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge, my savior. Thou savest me from violence. So you see all the adjectives there. Tower, shield, salvation, and all that. So referring to God's salvation. See verse 36. Let's see 36. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy gentleness hath made me great. Verse 47. The Lord liveth, blessed be my rock, and exalted be the God of the rock of my salvation. So you get all that? That was 2 Samuel 22, 3, 36, and 47. So God's salvation is for man's benefit. I've seen that several times here. God's salvation is for man's benefit. Okay. 1 Chronicles 16:23. 1 Chronicles, just be opening your Bible. Opening, writing. We have a lot of scriptures to examine. And once we're done, we're done. 1 Chronicles 16:23. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Show forth from day to day his salvation. How often? Day to day. So we must never get tired of it. It must be day to day. This is God's salvation being shown forth by man. Of course, you know how we show forth his salvation. Psalms chapter 3. We have a lot of passages in Psalms. Psalms. Salvation is what Psalms is about. Not die by fire. Not fall down and die. Or how to destroy the destroyer or your enemies. No, you will see that it's about salvation. Are you there? Psalms 3. Verse 8. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. Selah. Salvation belongs to the Lord. We see that again. Salvation tied to God. Psalms 9:14. That I may show forth all thy praise in the gates of the daughter of Zion, I will rejoice in thy salvation. So like we said, salvation is for man's benefit. Once you see salvation, a natural offshoot of that is joy, is rejoicing. A man who believes just rejoices. It's something to be glad about. Psalms 13, verse 5. But I have trusted in thy mercy. my heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. So you see it again. Rejoicing in salvation. Psalms 13. Okay, that was where we read Psalms 13. So Psalms 18 now. My pastor said it's abnormal for a believer to be continuously moody. Just abnormal. Wonder if he knows he has been saved. Or maybe he's angry that God has saved him. Ah, if I know sin and sorry, salvation be, I will not take him. Ah, God's coming. Anyway, Psalms 18 verse 2. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. Similar to what we read in Psalms 9. Okay, let's continue. Psalms 20. Psalms 20. 20. Verse 5. When I look up, please, I don't see you looking at me. Only one person admires my beauty. You focus. Amen. Psalms 20, verse 5. We will rejoice in thy salvation, and in the name of our God, we will set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions. So you see it again, we rejoice in thy salvation. Salvation brings joy to the hearer. Psalms 21. Psalms 21, verse 1. The king shall joy in thy strength, O God, and in thy salvation, how greatly shall he read? Okay. Pastor says that now I'm going against what he teaches. You should not read rejoice. Rejoicing is not theory. You should not be reading rejoicing as rejoicing, and your faces are still looking at me as it is looking at me. Are you not reading the rejoicing in the Bible? Oh, you don't have it in your Bible. You don't have it in your Bible. You are reading it, and your face is still looking like that of a masquerade. Be careful. Why are you part of the people that are thinking God's calmed them in salvation? They are regretting why? Be careful. Okay, Psalm 21 verse 1 again. The king shall joy in thy strength, O Lord, and in thy salvation, how greatly shall he rejoice. What's that? Okay, I think it's a grammar problem, actually. Let me read it again for you. It's a grammar problem. The king shall joy in thy strength. Okay, let me explain. No, it's English language now. Is English language your mother tongue? Or are you the queen, the daughter of the Queen of England? You are not. So it's possible that grammar is a problem. But let me explain the meaning of the word greatly there. Greatly means something that is very big. In Yoruba, otikpoju. You understand? As in, she I'm calling okpoju. Okpoju, okpo, yeah. So, can any Igbo person be corrected by Yoruba? You are banned from saying that. Excuse me, I'm a Yoruba woman. So, okpo, the thing is plenty. Igbos, what do you say? She's okay. It's not so bad. It's not so bad. Odiegu, as in Odiegu. See, I'm telling you, now you're there. I don't know any other tribe. All the other, we have a tribe in God. Amen. So. He said, how greatly shall he rejoice? That means the rejoicing will not be a small, it will not be a smiling, rejoice is not smiling. It's not. You never allow me to finish talking. Allow me to finish talking now. Allow me finish explaining. Let me explain. You know, when we say rejoice, we are not saying you should smile. You know the meaning of smile? It's like Sammy likes to smile. Sammy is a comported believer, you know? He has to rejoice. Sammy, you know? Yeah, the Lord, yeah. The Lord. You say, wait, I'm not finished. Hold on. Anyway, so as I was trying to say, don't leave all this mother just going ahead of schedule. We have a schedule, okay? We are going to rejoice it together. So don't mind them. Now, greatly means that it is going to be very, very plenty. As in, you cannot be doing something greatly and all your body will not feel it. You understand what I'm trying to say? So that means it's not yet great. It's just, if your only your this upper part of your body is feeling it, that's not great. But a king rejoices greatly, meaning that he rejoices. Oh, this thing is plenty. Very good. Now, let us read it again. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Psalms 21. Oh, okay, maybe somebody will say they are not the king. Yeah. Okay, I'm not sure. But the king shall joy in thy strength, O Lord, and in thy salvation, how greatly shall he rejoice. Glory to God. Like I told you. wait. You know, I told you which day that we should not blame first timers when they don't rejoice with us, right? You know, I told you, I said this, that it's not normal. It doesn't, in fact, if I'm a first timer and I go to a church and people, somewhere you all jump, like, I should look at the person and be shifting. Are you okay? Because I don't know what's happening. But like we said, God has never tried to make sense in man's own definition of sense. How wise it is to tell you, like I told you that day, don't forget though, that see, trust in a God you have not seen, that he died for you when you did not see it, that you have righteousness, a righteousness you cannot see, a holiness you cannot see, and that you will be justified eternally when you don't even know how long you will live on earth yet. They're telling you that there's one eternal. And do everything that, if you have an immortal body that you have not seen, there's no proof. Nothing. It does not look like a scam. Did you believe it? So, who are you already in the eyes of the world? You are foolish. In the world's definition, you're already a fool. Because they ask you, what are you believing? So, also, when you're not rejoicing about something, a salvation you cannot see. Yeah, you can't see, but you know you are saved, though. A holiness that you cannot see, and you are yet to rejoice, is not wise. But you know what? Wait now. Oh. Anyway, so when people look at you and rejoicing is not a time to try to make sense, because you have never made sense to an unbeliever. You have never. So don't try now. Don't be trying to now say, okay, let me now act like a responsible, civilized person that I am. Ah, not here. We rejoice. Glory to God. This is salvation. Hey. Hey. Sit down. So it's salvation. Because pastor will hack me if I read rejoicing four times and you say, Miss Madam, what happened? What were you doing on the pulpit? Is that what I sent you to do? How can you be is rejoicing theory? You are an unbeliever. I say, sorry, sir. So I must not do that. Amen? Amen. Amen. So please, continue our foolishness. Leave is our thing. Don't worry. Let us just continue in foolishness. We started foolish. We continue how? Foolishness. But don't worry. Let's continue. So we are at Psalm 21. Psalm 27 now. Psalm 27. Verse 1. The Lord is my light, my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? These are confidence, audacious statements a man gets by realizing that the Lord is on his side. Salvation means you and God are on the same side. That's salvation. You're on the same side. My believer, Psalm 35. Verse 3, draw out also the spear and stop the way against them that persecute me. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. So this is a consolation. Telling them confidence that, hey, assure your soul that, hey, God is your salvation. You assure yourself. Don't forget, you are the one that leads your mind. Your mind doesn't lead you. So when it looks like things are, tell yourself again, God is my salvation. You see verse 9, and my soul shall be joyful in the Lord. It shall rejoice in his salvation. Don't worry. Let's continue. Psalm 40 verse 10. Don't worry, I will spare you joy. We'll get to a point where we would rejoice again. But I'm coming. Psalm 40, verse 10. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. So believers who don't discuss or talk about their salvation, what are they doing according to this verse? They are concealing God's love. And David is saying, I have not. I have declared it clearly in the midst of the great congregation. And you see verse 16 there, 40:16. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad indeed. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. Ah! So this is where we have to ask some people, do you love God's salvation? Do you understand? He said, see, let the people who love God's salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. So a person who loves what God has done, who just, wow, just say, glory to God. Glory to God. The Lord be magnified. Don't worry, we are not rejoicing yet. It's just a consciousness. All right, let's continue. Psalm 50. Psalm 50, verse 3. Hallelujah. Ooh. Sorry, Psalm 62, verse 6. 62, verse 6. Okay, let me read from verse 5. My soul waits thou up only upon God, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. So only God, he only is my salvation. He only is my defense. The believer must always have that. Understand that God alone, nothing else, is your refuge. God alone. God alone. Psalm 70, verse 4. Similar to Psalm 40, 16. It says, let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. And let such as love thy salvation say continually, let God be magnified. Same thing as Psalm 70, verse 4. Psalm 70, verse 4. Psalm 78. Verse 22. Because they believe not in God and trusted not in his salvation. So you see from verse 21 now, he's not telling you the opposite side. This is, he has depicted faith and then unbelief. So the man who comes into condemnation is the one who doesn't trust God. Unbelief is not to trust in how God saves. That's unbelief. You are seeking that there must be something else. God is saying, this is the way of salvation. This is the way I will save. And you say, no, it has to be something else. It has to be through Buddha. It has to be through someone else. That's unbelief. Psalms 91. Psalms 91. Verse 16. How many of you have prayed this with this scripture? In fact, nobody can tell me they have not. I will not believe you. I will not. Even if you say Psalm 91. You have not prayed Psalm 91 before since you were born. Ah. Okay. No, we're not starting from verse 1, just 16. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. How many of you have quoted this? Ah, with long life. What is the definition of long life? Now, the funny thing is that it's 200 years long in comparison to eternity. Is it long? So this cannot be, when God is saying with long life, it cannot be long in man's standard. This is simply talking about the fact that salvation is eternal. I will show him my salvation. It's an eternal voyage of discovery. That is what salvation is. So it cannot be talking about physical life. The eternal life in Christ. Psalms 95, verse 1. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. So you see that salvation is the theme of Psalms, not enemies. It's sad how persons only bring out Psalm when they will say, tear a piece of Psalm and put inside water or something and drink. Psalms is about salvation. David was one of the most quoted persons in the New Testament and epistles because of this. If he was writing by enemy and only that, nobody will reference him. He will be like Nathan the prophet. Amen? Selah, I didn't say anything. Psalms. We just read Psalm 95 verse 1. So Psalm 118 now. Psalm 118. Okay, now you're going to get your rejoicing shoes ready. Now, today I was going to tell you, right? Okay. Psalm 118. Verse 15. Psalm 118. Okay, let me read from verse 14. Let me read from verse 14. Don't worry. Are you there? Okay. All right. So 14. The Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. Okay, everybody read verse 15. I can't hear you. Read it first. Yeah, the baby should learn how to rejoice. Oh yeah, read it. Mm-hmm. And salvation is in the tabernacles of the righteous, because the right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. Explain the scripture. I want to explain it. I know you know. I want to explain it. Let me explain. So, it means that there should be noise being heard in where the righteous are gathered, though. But it's not noise of murmuring. It's not noise of complaining. It's not noise of gossip. It's not noise of, like, we can't see. We know that life, everybody's in this life together. Are you not in the life? We know what is happening around. It's not time to now start recounting it and say, yeah, this is how life, death. No. There should be a party. They describe the kind of noise that they should be hearing in the midst of the righteous. And what kind of noise is that? Let me hear the noise. I want to hear the noise. Now you saw why we sang that day. The sound of rejoicing is always in the midst of the righteous. What is it? It is rejoicing that is based on what has happened. You understand? To sin and hell we are not bound, because out of death we are brought out. You understand? As in, God held our hand like this, brought us out of death. That is our victory. That's our victory. So when they are here, why are they making noise? So sin, we are not bound. Why are you shouting like that? You don't understand. I'm not bound to sin. I'm not bound to death. I'm not bound to it. I'm free. We are on a different path. We are on the path of God. See, sin and death to that side. We have said, bye-bye. Here we are. So that is why the sound of rejoicing is always in the midst of the right. All right, let me hear the sound one more time, then you can see that. Glory to God. 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 Sit down. Thank you. Sit down. So, So whenever you are told, if I meet you anywhere and I ask you, what kind of sound should I be hearing where righteous are gathered? I better hear what I should hear. If I enter your room by mistake and I'm just here, and I'm just looking at everybody looking because I'm not eating by two, and I ask you, what kind of sound should I hear where the righteous are? I will say the sound. It's all good. Psalm 149. Let him that has an ear hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Glory to God. I'm the Spirit here now. I'm the Spirit. Psalm 149, verse 4. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. That is what we mean. That is why we cannot afford not to be rejoicing about it. Like I had to ask, I said, are you bigger than God? God did something and he's taking pleasure in his work and the results of his work. And yet, it's not enough for you to rejoice. It means you are saying, God, is this just what is making you happy? Come on. I know better things that will make you happy. If you want to be happy, not just about salvation. Come on. Just give me a check of $1 million and I will be happy. Those are small things. You know? First Corinthians already told you that the wisdom of God is what? Foolishness for men. And that even if it looks like God is foolish, what is that foolishness? Wiser than the wisest of men. Has it. So most times, the more foolish it sounds, just don't be quick to just discard something they say is foolish. So calm down. No, because you're foolish to who first? That's the question. Wait, so it's foolish. Wait, calm down. Foolish to who? Let us examine whether you are not bringing, because you know, we have some very, very cerebral people, very cerebral. And they will tell you that I'm very cerebral. I'm highly cerebral. How can a person just be? It's not wise for you to have church more than twice a week. That is giving people. The Sunday, the days are for us to go and work and make sense with our hands. How can you not be saying we should still be coming to church almost daily? Be wise. Okay. So let's balance it. Yes, let's balance it. So before you start nodding your head like a gamma lizard and you're hearing, it's true. Ensure you're asking, wise to who first? Because don't forget, you're on God's part. Don't try and borrow God's wisdom of the men of the world. Amen. All right, let's continue. Now we'll go to Isaiah. Isaiah 12. Verse 1 to 4. And in that day, thou shalt say, O Lord, in Isaiah 12, I will praise thee. Thou that was angry with me, thy anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Hey, verse 3. Let's read verse 3 together. Therefore we draw. Shall we draw water out of the wells of salvation? It cannot be any other way. It can't be any other way. Because if people receive salvation, should we ask them? They say this salvation will be received by joy. Come, are you sure we are talking about the same salvation? Be sure. Not everybody that is claiming salvation, talking about God's salvation. You know, if you are talking about salvation, it's not an easy road. We are traveling to hell. Lord, when are we going to make it? You know, you can't tell that kind of person to rejoice. Somebody that is trying to ensure that, I say, you know, when you're trying to keep your salvation, your whole body will be like this. I'm keeping my salvation. One part in front. Don't trouble me. I'm just putting one leg. If I see this way, I'm going to his far. Don't walk out your salvation with fear. He's trembling. This is how it should be now. Literal fear and trembling. You can't tell that kind of person to rejoice. So if that kind of person is not rejoicing, no problem. We understand. It's not God's salvation. You understand? Because if it is God's salvation, we know. We know how it should be. We know. Sit down. Now, in case you are seated beside someone that is still gloomy, just ask the person, is my salvation your salvation? Just be sure. Let's be sure we all have the same salvation before we continue. Is your salvation my salvation? You know, we say we have one destiny, have we? We have, so we don't go and seek it for some. Ask the person very well. Say, the person that saved me, is it the same person that saved you? Is it the same? Are you sure? Okay, we are all on the same page. Okay, all right, okay. I just want to be sure. The pastor said we should not assume. Pastor has cured me from assumption. Okay, I'm still being cured. But he said, don't assume. Don't assume that because you see someone in church wearing gele or dying long skirt. The person is, don't assume. Because our salvation, we know the characteristics. We know how it should be. We know. Glory to God. So Isaiah 26. 26 now. Isaiah 26. Oh, glory, 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 glory. Verse 1. Isaiah 26, 1. In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter him. That will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusted in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever. For in the Lord Jehovah is what? There is only one kind of salvation we can find in God. There's only one type. It has to be only one. Except it's not that God. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting salvation. That's it's just one time you'll find in God. No worry. Okay, Isaiah 45. Isaiah 45. Verse 17. Glory to God. Oh, glory, 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 glory. Isaiah 45, 17. Glory to God. Isaiah 45, 17. That kind of scripture you just read laughing like... But Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. You shall not be ashamed, nor confounded. World without end. World without end. Say it's sure for me. It's sure for me. It's sure for me. It's sure for me. It's all. Sit down, sit down, sit down, sit down, sit down. Let's continue. Sit down. It's sure for me. Very sure. It's sure. The Bible tells the believer his journey and his destination. Do you understand? It's sure for you. It's sure. That would be a contest question one day. What is sure for you? Salvation is sure for me. It's sure. Like, brother, I need to give us a song then. Battered and bruised, you were broken for us. You died and rose. In you, victory is sure. As in, it's sure. It's sure. Which other word is sure? Before you think I'm talking about sure, your sure spray. No. Which other word can I use for sure? He said, I don't even want word that is strong like this. Wait, what's the Yoruba word? Yorubas have a way of saying this thing. Ah, Jesus. Oh, Daju. Oh, Daju, go. Ah, Jesus. I'm a Yoruba woman. Glory to God. All right, let's continue. Okay. Isaiah 46. Sure. Isaiah 46:13. I bring near my righteousness. It shall not be far off. And my salvation shall not tarry. I will place salvation in Zion for Israel my glory. Now this is talking about predestination. Fixed. I will place it here. You can only find it here. Isaiah 46:17. I will place it here. 46:13. You can only find it here. Strict location, strict boundary. Isaiah 59. Or let's read 49 first. 49:6. And he said, it is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles that thou mayest be my salvation unto the ends of the world. So there is no territory that is excluded from this salvation. No. This is why we refuse to say there is an Islamic state. Why we don't see it. Earth is the Lord's. And what God's plan for the earth is salvation. It's why we can conceive a world of sons. Don't worry. Like I told you, 30 persons conceiving that we have a world of sons. A world of men filled with the Spirit. Is it not foolish? Is it not foolish? Imagine how many are we? Let me assume that, okay, we are 50. How long have we been together? And when did the final assembly start? 3 years. Very good. Now, you now say, if in 3 years, of course, we are not counting any other place, but if in 3 years, you are still not even having this one, you have not had 1,000 members, and you are talking about the whole world, is that actually not foolish? No, it's foolish for man. Foolish for man. But, are you moved? No. Because are you on their part? No. You're not. You know the funny thing? Most persons, you will hear business principles telling you that you don't get quick returns. You should persevere, right? You should, when your first year profit, you should do what? Invest in the business. You should keep doing turnovers. You keep doing turnover. Even if the business, they will be telling you all the business ways to, they don't tell you abandon it because it's not working. Do you understand? They don't tell you that you have, they will say, this is, they will not start giving you stories of, what's your guy, Jeff Team? I started this one like this. People just like to hear their success story today. They don't know where people have been laboring for in the backyard of their properties. When it's there, they will keep quiet. But among church settings, they will say, why will you be believing for a word of songs when you are 5? Dream, don't dream big. Dream. Anyway, that's hypocrisy. Please, guard your heart with all diligence. You are on God's part. You're on God's part. When you are not seeing what you should see, what do? You keep deploying your resources. It's not a proof that, you say, if it is God that sent you, then you should, let me not go there. This is the part of glory. I mean, we'll get there. Don't worry. We are going somewhere to happen. Let me stick with where I am today. So where did we read? Isaiah 59 now. Isaiah 59:16. And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness sustained him. So this is showing clearly that salvation was by God's power alone. Isaiah 59:16. No man's effort was needed in it. Clearly God's. Only God. Isaiah 61:10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorned herself with her jewels. You know, people say that if you're not fine on your wedding day, you cannot be fine again in this life. I don't know how true that... Keep quiet. You are really agreeing. Who is this? Yeah, Kana, you will fast for the next... Okay, let's continue. So, people have that mindset. Why? Because they think that on your wedding day, how many persons gathered to get you ready? How many? One person was working on eye. Another person was trying to do shit. Another person was bringing shoe. Somebody was fanning you. Everybody, a whole community gathered to make you ready. And you are still not fine. Forget it. That's why they have that mindset. You get. So, but it's just that idea that on your wedding, you should look resplendent. And now he's saying that as the bridegroom is decking to go and marry. Well, the bridegroom, do they deck in this hour? All I'm seeing is suits, well, okay, well, so men deck. My husband decked. Yes, it's true. My husband decked. Glory to God. We decked in our wedding. So people see that and say, that is beautiful. You are just the couple is the cynosure of all eyes. And that is what Isaiah was describing here. The way that God, the way the bridegroom is beautified is how God beautified man in salvation. That means he clothed man with righteousness. It was God's own. You know, and some people got that dressed you up. That's how God dressed up the man in Christ in his righteousness. So that's what he was describing. God's work. God's work. That is why we are all beautiful. Don't let this physical up. I don't want. Well, so people will say, when I ask them, are you fine? They will say, of course, I'm very fine. Well, let me not go there. But in Christ, I know how we are fine in Christ. I don't know how you are fine physically. But in Christ, you are beautiful. Glory to God. Isaiah 61. You have been adorned by God himself. You don't have a choice. Nobody can say my makeup artist spoiled my face. No. God beautified you perfectly. Perfectly. Not like Eunice beautification. Isaiah 61, verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord had anointed me to preach good. Who said, hey? Okay, I thought Eunice wants to start dragging that you can make somebody as fine as God. Aha. Isaiah 61, verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord had anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Now, this is a description of salvation. And you see, that's where we have read verse 10. So you see that there clearly. This is salvation. This is what God has done, freedom and liberty. Isaiah 62, verse 1. For Zion's sake, I will not hold my peace. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest. Unto the righteousness thereof, go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. So God said, I will not hold my peace until the salvation that I execute is the one that cannot be extinguished. It's what God did by himself. As a lamp that burneth. It keeps burning. Doesn't go off. Doesn't go out. Let's go to Jeremiah now. Jeremiah. Jeremiah 3. Jeremiah 3. Verse 23. Truly in vain is salvation hoped for from the hills and from the multitude of mountains. Truly in the Lord our God is the salvation of Israel. So this is clear. You cannot hope for salvation from any other source by your moral conduct or anything else. It is strictly God. Lamentations. Three other scriptures and then we are done. Lamentation. After Jeremiah. Lamentation 3. Verse 26, it is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It is good that man's expectation is on God's salvation. Because if in his impatience he tries to do anything, it can never be God's salvation. That was Lamentation 3:26. Now, Jonah 2. Jonah chapter 2, verse 9. The men on bedrock still opening. I patiently wait. Jonah 2, verse 9. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. So this is Jonah's conclusion. After a whale has taught him lesson. So don't wait for a whale to teach you lesson. You know that salvation is of the Lord. Now, finally, let's read Isaiah 51. Isaiah 51. 51. Are we there? Verse 5 and 6. 51 verse 5 and 6. My righteousness is near. My salvation is gone forth. My arms shall judge the people. The isles shall wait upon me, and on my arms shall they trust. Lift up your eyes to the heavens, and look upon the earth beneath. For the heavens shall vanish away like smoke, and the earth shall wax old like a garment. And they that dwell therein shall die in like manner. But my salvation shall be forever, and my righteousness shall not be abolished. So this is God's salvation. Compared it to every other thing, even the earth vanish, man's life temporary. He said God's salvation is forever. The key word there is my salvation, talking about God. And it is only one kind of salvation that Christ gives. If your salvation is not eternal, it's not of Christ. God only gives one kind of salvation. He said, my righteousness shall not be abolished. You can't wipe it off. You can't take it off. That is our God. So, how many scriptures have we gone through to show you salvation from the scriptures? This is what the Bible is based on. Salvation. Salvation. If God will bless man, it will be in salvation. It's what we have been explaining to you. God does not bless a man outside salvation. If God will bless a man, it will be in this salvation. And also, if God will give man a job, where will it be? Where will it be? In salvation. God has a plan and a purpose for man. It's called salvation and the things it entails. We have been called to stay on this path. In this we'll find our purpose for life. So God has just one plan for man. You have been called to stay on that path of salvation. I know, you want to sing, continue singing. But God has just one path for man. Salvation. That is what you have been called to labor on. God will employ a man. It will be in salvation. It can never be outside it. So this path of glory, what is the first thing to know? Hey, God's path is salvation. This path of glory is a path of salvation. It's a path of salvation. You cannot save God outside this path. I know many believers have had bad education of plenty things to do to save God. Plenty things. How do I serve God? I want to work for God. And you are told, if you want to work for God, come and clean the church, clean the chair, clean the toilet. As you are cleaning the church, God is what? Cleaning your life. So you have read that God himself adorned you, right? Has your life been cleaned? Yes. Yes. That is a bad. Many orientation of how to serve God. How do I serve God? Let me just, through my seed. Yes, my seed. My seed, we serve God. Let us give to God. We serve God in giving. So you see some people say, I've not been called. You know, some people say, I'm not an evangelist. You see people preaching. You are preaching to them. You say, it's like, I've actually met somebody like that. You go an evangelist. But you say, it's like you're an evangelist. I say, I'm a believer. You're an evangelist. It's good. The ministry, that's the ministry. People have been called evangelists. In my church, there are people that are in that department. Evangelists. So once you are preaching, you are an evangelist. So in this church, who qualifies as an evangelist? If you want to say there are some people that we should chase, we are going to put them in evangelism. Who will go for us? The rest of us want to focus on other things. We want to have a department of evangelism. By Joshua, yeah. Jude, we cater for our belly. Jude is an Act 6 deacon. That's Jude's portfolio. Yeah. So we don't do that. The portfolio is tied to salvation. If God will employ every man, he's in salvation. So if when you see somebody that says, I'm not an evangelist, just ask the person simple, very simple question. Are you saved? Simple. Are you saved? If you are saved, you are an evangelist. Okay, let's leave the title. People just like titles. If you are saved, you have a work. Let's put it like that. You have a work. You have a job description in this path. So, please, that must be clear. You cannot serve God out in anything else. People will say, I serve God as I'm serving my country. As I'm a Nigerian police. In fact, you see, some people will say doctors are serving God. They are doing the work of God because they are God's hands. How did I hear that thing again? Oh, they are saving lives. So they are, that is a direct work. Doctors are working for God. That is a path of God. So lawyers, we are doing what? We are also saving life. What will it profit a man what will it profit a man if he's well and he's in prison? What will it profit you? It won't profit you anything. Anyway, say now. So every professor will come and say they are old. Have you not done that debate in school? Who is better, doctor, teacher, or this one, farmer, or this? You are feeling it. So everybody has their own. Everybody hypes their own. So if we are going to go on that, there's no, even the truck pusher will say, I am serving God. I'm carrying the burdens that men cannot carry. Glory to God. Deep things. So we don't go with that. Everybody will hype their own. Don't hear me. Don't hear me. So where is the work located? In salvation. God has, you see how we saw that salvation, God said, I will place salvation in Zion, right? So people trying to find it anywhere else, will they see it? No. So also, God's work is on a specific path. If you try to find it anywhere else, you will not see. The work is only available in the path of God. Can't say I'm serving God in my career. How? I am using my lifestyle to preach Jesus. Well done, man. So those of us who don't have jobs, what should we do? We are not serving God. Of course, I don't mean those of us who don't have jobs. Those of us who don't have man's jobs, what should we do? We are not serving God. That is wisdom. Foolish wisdom. So, we have said it. The path of God is salvation. Is the path of Christ. This path of glory, that is what it is. Fixed. So what is the believer to do? Philemon. That's our last. Okay, second to last scripture. Or before we get to Philemon, let's see Romans 8. Romans 8 will be done in 5 minutes. Romans 8:29 or 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, them he also justified. Whom he justified, them he also glorified. So we see this is a complete work that has been done. You call, justification, predestination, everything is in Christ. Done in Christ. There is a foreknowledge in God. There is a predestination in God. There is also a calling in God. In the salvation plan of God, that call is clear. That call is very clear. So we study salvation more because in salvation you will find the call. That's where we started from. The person who says he's not called is the person who has not understood salvation. You study salvation more because in salvation we find the call. Find the call. Find the call. Philemon 4, or Philemon, according to some people. I don't know which is correct. Philemon 4, is it your name? How can you know that it's correct? Not. Philemon. Who told you it's not Philemon? Philemon 4, verse 4. I thank Philemon 4, as in, I just mean verse 4. I thank my God making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast towards the Lord Jesus and towards all saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. So it's very clear. The way to become better is to fully know, as the acknowledging there, fully understand everything that you have in Christ. God is at work. The believer is to see. Note this clearly. You are to see, understand, appreciate. The believer is to see, understand, appreciate, value, and highly esteem what God has done. What was your first description? Your first job description? To see what God has done, to behold it, to appreciate it, to esteem it highly, to value it beyond everything else, over and beyond, never on the same scale, never on the same scale, never. When you do this, this will automatically birth ministry in you. Birth ministry in you. You see a believer not interested in studying, not interested in things of God, not interested in church activities, not interested in evangelism, anything at all, not interested. He has not seen what God has done. He has not appreciated it. He has not valued it. Once you value it, you will pick up your own work inside it. That's your primary responsibility. To see, value, behold what God has done. See how big what God has done is. Learn it and then proclaim it. That's it. That's your job. Pastor said that we will emphasize in the next part. Don't use prophecy to induct a man into ministry that has not understood salvation. As in, don't use prophecy to induct a man into salvation, to commission a man into salvation when the man has not learned. Commission a man into ministry when he has not learned salvation. Say, I see you. I see you. Taking the nations. I see you. All over. I see you. In fact, men, you are like Joseph. People are bowing before you. Men are coming to just hear what you are. A man who has not understood chicken. Pray, no. Study, no. Listen, no. And you are using prophecy to tell him it's going somewhere to happen. Don't do that. Use the prophecy to tell him to learn salvation and understand it. So salvation is a big deal to God. It must be a big deal to you too, because you are a believer. Because you're a believer. We're talking about the path of glory. And that's why we started since trying to explain to you, you're not an atheist, you're a believer. Are you a believer? Are you a believer? Yes. Believing brought you into this path of glory. Believing brought you into this path of God. So you're already on this path. So you are called already. You cannot say you are not called. Are you called of God? Wait, too. Not sure. Finish writing. Believing brought you into this path, so you cannot say you have not been called. Preach. God has not called me yet. Okay. If you have been called, let me see your hand. Even Austin wants to raise hand that he has been called. Okay. We will now understand what this path entails. So that's why we are studying the path of glory. You are called. You are already on this path of glory. It is too late now to say you are not called already. It's too late. That's why I say some people are regretting this. When it's dawning on them that that's what salvation will be, who sent me? It's too late, oh. Trying to say you are not called, you are saying you are an atheist. You don't believe what has been done. It's too late to reject it. It's too late. It's too late. It's too late. Why we sang this morning, that redemption gave us a new life. It also gave us a new work. And see the last part of that song. He says, in God's vineyard, I'm not on the sidelines. In this ministry, I'm what? I'm a full participant. What you must understand first is that we are already in God's vineyard. Do you understand? We are already there. We are there in God's vineyard. Salvation brought you, believing brought you into that vineyard. So, on that vineyard, in that vineyard, we now have spectators and participants. But to say you are not there, you are just fooling yourself. How disgraceful is it when somebody is sitting on a racetrack, somebody that's supposed to be running? Is it ever a pleasant sight? How many of you cheer those kind of people? You just run. Let's go and run a marathon. After running 100 meters. 100 meters, oh, like here to here. That's where it be. Just sit down, judge. Both the people that's running, spectators, they're all in the stadium. We are all there. We are in that path already. We are there. So if you don't work, or if you don't do your part, that is where the difference now lies. If you're a full participant, don't forget, not just participant, full participant. Or you are just doing what you can, or you are not even doing at all. You are just a cheerleader. That's meaning of sidelines. You're just there by the side, watching others. Ah, we're done. See somebody going for outreach. You're going again. The Lord bless you. I don't know. The Lord strengthen you. You've seen such things, right? More grace. A believer. Pray, they're not going, though. Pray for other believers. You're going again. This work. The Lord, more grace, more anointing. Maybe you should be praying the thing back to the person. More grace to you, too. More grace. So yeah, you need it more. You need it more. You need it more. You need more. So, say I'm on the path of glory. I'm on the path of glory. That's where we end it today. We are now, subsequently, we are now going to now describe and understand what is on this path for us. The terms and conditions. Like Pastor said, how many of you go to GT Bank or you get a job and you go there and say, you see a job advert to come for maybe a technical analyst. They want a technical, what does that mean? If, let me say computer analyst, that's what I know. Somebody that can analyze computer. Mm. So they give you, you say, this is the vacancy. Then you come. You read medicine. It says a Nigerian course. Now people go for jobs that they don't even read in school. Just, we can do it by the power of God. Just give us. Anyway, and I call you for the interview. You say, this is what the job description is. You now say, hello, Mr. Manager. I know this is your job description. I know this is what you want. However, you have not understood what I have to offer yet. If you understand he that speaketh to you, he that standeth in front of you, telling you that, employ me, you would have given me your whole bank. You see, I am going to ensure that you never fall sick again. You now bring CV for something else, and you are. Do you expect, how many minutes will they give you to talk? What will they call next? Security. Security. Yahuda, carry him out. This one is mad. You don't decide. Yet, persons think they have that luxury in church, in God's work. You simply accept terms and conditions. Is this how it is to be done? No. God, let me explain something to you. See, these days, we have improved beyond. That time you were speaking through Paul. Just you consider them. See the time that has passed between when Paul spoke and now. What do you think? Do you think serving God at that Paul's time will still be the same as serving now? Think him. What do you think? We went for evangelism one day and I opened the door, I knocked on the man's door. The man came out and said, people are still going from door to door. Don't do such again now. Now, we meet online. I see you evangelize online. You look at the man. You now meet online. You also, you reach out, you get more people online. You'll be able to reach them online. And that tells me how they do it, strategy. Yeah. Well done, sir. The Bible did not upgrade. We are still there. We are stuck there. But that's how many believers, you say, God, come. We have progressed. See, we are this generation. Do you know why they call us jet age? Let me explain to you. We do things on the speed of light. When we start, let me explain. You see, it's not by just saying, come and learn. When you tell people, come and learn Bible, they will not, that's not appealing. Let me explain. See, when you tell them that, I'm inviting them to my church. There's a tea, coffee break at the back, you know. Once you're exhausted, the pastor, we know your brain has limits to assimilation. You know, you can't, after 1 hour, the brain tends to not comprehend anymore. So our sermons don't exceed 40 minutes, just 40 minutes. 40 minutes, okay, 40 minutes blend. Our sermons don't exceed that. Our entire church service does not exceed 1 hour. So that you can be fresh and be alert, keeping alert. But in case you find that you're drowsy, there is a coffee at the back. Just go there. And of course, we understand that some of you just, you know, plenty packaging. How you will bring boss, charter people, thinking that is the word of eternal life. You take them, they will dance all day, and you will still give them rice on top. Oh, you don't know. We'll package rice for you for the work of dancing. So as you have come, we'll package students, they've used big buses, carriers, and you now come after. That's what I was telling somebody. I said, you want to know why the work is hard? Why you are preaching to somebody, the person is running away. Somebody is offering him bus, free bus to church, free bus to go, free bus to come back, free food there, and he will dance. Yeah. It's not even so that you are boring him by how many hours. And you are not coming to meet him, say, brother, come. You know, the brother first, sometimes after you have disturbed, they just come. They come once. What's your... Yes, that's what it be. There was a time the first sermon came in, you don't even wait till the end. After the first sermon, and they continue. Pew! is it that? No. And you're expecting it. It can't be. It cannot be. So, in such situations, what do you do? That's why we are learning the path of glory. Such situations, what do you do? What do you do? But anyway, today, you're on God's path. You're called on God's path. You're already on this path. Ministry is yours. You cannot reject it, except you want to reject your salvation. And you know how God designed salvation, even if you want to reject it. Hey, as you receive the salvation, there is one chance. Pull. You come 2 months' time, say, sorry, I thought I don't want to get. It's too late. So what happens in ministry too? It's too late to reject it. Too late. I did not know. God, forgive me. Just forget. I said it out of tone. It's too late. So, you're a believer? Are you a believer? You are not an atheist, right? Are you called? Are we on this path of glory together? All right, be on your feet. We're going to be praying for ourselves. Except you have something else to offer man apart from God's offer. But if it is only God's offer you are bringing, you will know that it cannot be attractive to man in that sense, in man's own level. It can't. And God himself already told you that my wisdom is not the wisdom of man. However, I will do my best to explain to man so he can pick up this wisdom. That is why you know that you cannot afford to do this by physical what? Strength. You can't. Otherwise, you will just be hitting your head on the wall. You'll come back every day like, what kind of people are these ones? Why? Not do it again. Can you meet somebody? I met somebody. I've been teaching one person for the past 1 month on this same thing, on salvation. I come again. The person will still ask the same question I asked before. 2 months, the same thing. Why is it not that easy? Hey, you're on the path of God. What we have is process, job assignment, process, destination. Do you understand? Time frame is not there. The time frame that a person will believe is not there. Oh, have you ever seen it in the Bible? That as you preach to this person, today will believe. As you keep preaching, 2 months he will disciple. In 5 months' time, he's a pastor. Is it there? It's not. So you don't have that time. All you are told, job assignment, this is the process, and this is the destination. So there is need for patience. So pray for yourself again this morning. Of course, if you are here and you are yet to understand that you are called, if this is a new thing to you that, hey, this is your work, oh, you have just been idle, not doing anything, you have been given a job and you are just not doing it, ensure you pray for yourself that you are serious with it, your mind understands better what you have. And for those who are still in the process of realizing that this is what life entails from them, keep praying for yourself. Strength doesn't fail. For those who by patient continuance, we'll get there. Patient continuance. You have need for patience. If it was speedy and immediate, they will not tell you you needed patience. You need patience because you are dealing with God, with man, with the mind of men. Even God doesn't have full control over that. How much more do you think you cannot have full control and make a man steadfast? Bam! You don't. You can only keep praying for them and praying for yourself that your strength will not fail. So go ahead and pray. Go ahead and pray for yourself on this path of glory. Our strength do not fail. On this path of glory, our strength do not fail. On this path of glory, our strength do not fail. On this path of glory, we have the strength of God, so it cannot fail. We have the strength of God, so we cannot fail. We have the strength of God, so we cannot fail. On this path of glory. 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 There is just one path that has glory attached to it. Just one path. Just one path. That has God's glory attached to it. Just one path. And on it, you will see many things to lure you away. There are much more attractive things. I can tell you, there are much more attractive things. There are much more ease and comfort in alternatives. There is always a temptation to do a better thing. There is always the temptation to evaluate yourself by man's standard. There's always the temptation to think that your time is being wasted. There is always the temptation to think you can have better elsewhere. There may be many paths in front of man, but God has only one path he has placed for man. Just one. That is where God's glory is. That is where God's honor is. That is where life is. Just one path. Just one path. We have been called to stay on this path. Just stay. Don't shift grounds. Just stay. If you can stay. If you can stay. If you can stay. If you can just stay. See Ephesians 6. It just tells you stand your ground. There will not be an emphasis to stay, to stand your ground, to continue. If the temptation to do otherwise is not much. Ha, this part of glory. On this part of glory. You're already on it, though. I cannot, except you're not a believer. I can't start trying to invite you on this part of glory. You are there already. You are there already. It's too late for you. I'm sorry, but it's too late. You're on this part of glory. Are you on the sidelines? Are you a full participant? Is this your call? Is this your call? Is this your call? Huh? There is a part of glory that God has placed for man. For the unbeliever, it's an invitation to come. But for you, it's not an invitation. You are there already. Pick yourself up and run. No sitting down. No sidelines. Is what the Edifying Assembly stands for. We have been forbidden by God to give any man a choice of being lackadaisical. You will not find it. It should be obvious to you that you are being rebellious. We don't give any man an option and say, you have an alternative. You can just, if you like or you don't like, you must like, oh. You must like. Because you're already there. You're already there. You're already there. You're already there. Hey, this is life. This is life. Bramanke, come. Come. This is life. Hallelujah. We are going to collectively pray for him. Pastor's instruction. We're going to pray for him. Now, this part of glory, right? We're in this together. And, of course, more responsibility awaits you. So, Pastor is making him a minister. Of course, you know what minister in the final assembly is. And he has asked that we as a church pray for him. That is the instruction I have. And we must do it. So be in this cell. Sajima, please come. Rest in peace. Is Akim back? No. All right. So together we are going to pray for him. It's our work together. People at the forefront. Every other person will still be on the forefront at one point in time. Keep learning, keep progressing. Prabhupada, please come. So, of course, if you know you're in the minister's group, just come pray for him and the rest of us keep praying. So, we are praying for this brother. Pray for him. The church is where we do things together. Put your hands on him and pray for him. It's a collective work. When one stand, we all stand together. If one fall, we refuse to run until we can pull that person. That's the church. We bear ourselves. We bear ourselves. So pray for Brother Michael. Pray for Brother Michael. Your pastor has instructed you to pray for him. So ensure you are doing that. Ensure you are doing that. His hands is strengthened more for the walk ahead. His hand is strengthened more for the walk for him. We know we have a call and a walk. How we will serve as appointed, I don't know. But as a church, we are praying for him. That he will take heed to the ministry that he has received. That he will fulfill it. He will fulfill it. Whatever responsibility he fulfills. Whatever responsibility he fulfills. Go ahead and pray for him. Pray for him. Pray for him. Oh, pray for him. Pray for him. Nothing is beyond you. No task is beyond you. You are strengthened by God. No task is beyond you. You will never be called an ex-minister. No. You are a minister of God. Never an ex-minister. Never an ex-minister. Never a I was once fervent. No. You are set on eternal excellency. Your path continues to shine bright. In the name of Jesus. Your better days are now. Your best days are ahead. For you, there are no breaks in ministry. For you, there are no breaks. For you, there are no stops. For you, there are no resting time. The work is never overwhelming for you. The strength of ministry is the same strength we have in salvation. Ha! If our salvation does not fail, ministry cannot fail. Whatever is committed to our hands cannot fail. It's the same strength that backs our salvation. That backs us in ministry. Same strength, same strength. Same strength. Same strength. Same strength. Oh, thank you, Father. With our eyes, we see what this one will do in your kingdom. And we will together do it. Cheer him on. Support him. Support him. Support him. For any work that lies ahead. Strength is yours, Brother Michael. You don't fail. You don't fail. On this path of glory, you will see it. You will see it. And you will commend and say, yes, this is glory. This is glory. This is glory. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right, thank you, everyone. So have you understood what we did so far? Thank you, sir. You can take your seat. This is the call of God. You have been called already. You have been called. You have been called. Today is your first time here. No, you have been called. You have been called into ministry. It might look weird. You have been called. It's your calling, no? This is my call. I've heard the Father's word calling. God called you in salvation. God has called you in salvation. You are called already. Say, I'm the called of God. I'm a minister of God. Say, I will be a pastor. Okay, say, I will train men. I will raise up more disciples. You see yourself. What's the difference? Hallelujah. So this is your call. So we're going to sing together. And we have one destiny. We have one purpose. Woo! We have one passion. Where is that passion? Are you sure? Is it your passion? Or our passion is in God's will, your own is in football? Or your passion is to raise end time millionaires. Our passion is to win the men for the gospel. I lie. We have one what? We have one destiny. We have what? One purpose. One passion. Like I always tell you, tell your neighbor, say your destiny is my destiny.
Your destiny is my destiny.
Are you sure the person answered you? In case you still think you have a unique, special destiny in Christ. Tell your neighbor again, your destiny is my destiny. You know, I told you I was going to ask you, when you understand, we have not gotten there yet, by the time we end this part of glory, you understand the weight of the call. But I told you I'm going to ask you again. That redemption gave you a new work, right? So, and you are rejoicing about it. Hope you are still glad about it. Are you sure? Are you sure you are glad that you have been called? Oh yeah, like, I just feel somebody just say, what kind of problem is this one? Now, why did I come to church today? I was gently living my life. Just gently going and doing things at my pace. Only, yeah, you know that the funny thing is that once you've heard, once it has been made clear to you, your response at that point is that now shows that this is definite rebellion. So it would have been better for you if you're not here now. But the funny thing is that you would have still heard. And I'm sure you have heard before. But now it's clear. that you have one call on this path of glory. You have been called already. You're not waiting to be called. You're not waiting till you are fully grown up in Christ. You're not waiting till you have learned all the Greek words. No. You have been called already. God considered a man faithful. Gave him ministry. He's not waiting for you to prove faithfulness before he gives you. He just gave. How did God make a man clean? Give him the Spirit. How did God prove a man faithful? Give him a walk. That's it. So everything we now do is to prove what God has called us. God has called us already. He said, you are a faithful man. So all our steps daily is to show that, hey, we are not unfaithful. We are faithful. We are faithful. Of course, this is the Divine Assembly. This is your first time. We welcome you after service in the Divine Assembly way. And if you have love gifts, you know how we give here. Please ask for the envelope and give. We don't give based on... You are selecting. Now, plan it. Paul said, let this man give as he has what? Proposed in his heart. Just plan. This is what I want to give. And you're free. And sure, it's not your transport fare home, though. Your welfare is our business as well. Okay. This week, very easy. Tuesday, 7 p.m. 7. Go to work. Ensure you work well, okay? Go to work. 7 p.m. come, relax together. Relax. This is our own relaxation, okay? Just relax with this. Then, on Wednesday, 6 p.m., then Friday vigil. Is that simple enough? So what do we have tomorrow? What do we have tomorrow? What do we have tomorrow? Aha. Uh-huh. That's our walk, oh. It's every day, but on Monday, we say no church on Monday, so that pastor will not fix a date for teaching. No teaching? Everybody go out and learn. That's who we are. Alright? Alright, let's sing together. God has a plan. Hold hands across. Hold your hands across. Ensure everybody is in this. Peace, give us lyrics. We have been called to stay on this path. In this we find our purpose for life. Sing it again. God has a plan. And a purpose for man. It's called salvation. And the things it entails. We have been called to stay on this path. In this we will find our purpose for life. Oh, so we stand. We stand. We stand in God's will. We are men spiritually minded. Oh, glory, glory. We are focused in God's will. Sing it again. So we stand. We stand strong and perfect. We stand in God's will. We are men spiritually minded. Oh. We are focused in God's will. You know you are not an atheist, right? It means you don't say what you don't believe. You don't say what you don't believe. Don't worry. Somebody came to church and we were singing, what was our song? I live for the man Jesus died for. And she did not sing. She said she cannot sing that. And she's not living for men. She's living for herself. No problem. We are saying we stand strong and perfect. We are spiritually minded men that are focused on God's will. These words will stand against you, but it won't stand against you. It will stand for 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 you. All right, so we stand. Let's go.
So we stand strong and perfect.
We stand in God's will. Oh, glory to God. We are men spiritually minded.
Spiritually minded.
We are focused in God's will. One more time, so we stand.
So we stand strong and perfect.
We stand in God's will.
We stand in God's will.
We are men spiritually minded.
We are men spiritually minded.
We're focused in God's will.
We have one destiny. We have one destiny. We have one purpose. We have one passion in God's will.
We
have one destiny.
We have one.
We have one purpose.
We have one.
We have one passion.
We have one.
In God's
we have one destiny.
We have one destiny. We have one purpose.
You know, when you hear us calling you every time, when you hear us disturbing you for PRO book, bear with us. Bear with us. It's because we realize that we have only one destiny. Because we know that your destiny is my destiny. It's because doing you doing it well shows that I'm doing it well. Do you understand? Bear with us. Bear with us. And once this burns in your heart too, you too will be the one pursuing others. Say, so, hey, your destiny is tied to my own. Oh. We have one. We have one. So we stand.
So we stand strong and perfect. We stand in God's will. We are men spiritually minded. We're focused in God's will.
Have a blessed week, everyone.